This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we thank you so much for allowing us to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. And again, as we do each week, I guess, is thank each one for those that have taken time to write us. We appreciate very much getting your letters. And we just hope that you'll continue to do that and invite your friends to listen to the broadcast. And that's a real thrill to us and a real encouragement also. We want to continue now on our subject, as we've said in the past few weeks. Can you believe in God and go to hell? Well, of course you can. But do you believe what God said to believe? Now, if you believe what God said to believe, then you go to heaven. And again, we want to reiterate just a second here. You may say, well, I believe that God created this heavens and these earth right here, and I believe that God created mankind. I believe he did it in 6 days, just as the Bible teaches. But I'm not so sure about Jesus Christ. I'm trying to do the very best I can. And I don't hurt anybody, and I try not to lie or swear or use the Lord's name in vain and anything that would be derogatory to the Lord. So I'm hoping and doing the very best I can that God will accept my good works and at least my attitude of trying to do the best I can and will allow me to go to heaven. And I'm sure I have many more good works than what I do bad ones. Well, does that get you to heaven? No, it does not. Because you see, you may believe in the God of creation, you may believe in the biblical God, but you're not believing what God said. The Bible tells us that we are not saved by good works. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved." Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what we do deserve. So Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are we saved," that's saved from hell, "through faith," that's believing, faith and belief are synonymous words, "we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So no amount of good works can ever get us to heaven, because the best you could do, if you stopped sinning right now until you died, you couldn't go to heaven unless you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you would still be a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the glory of God being His absolute perfection, His absolute righteousness. He has never sinned. Couldn't sin if He wanted to. If He wanted to, He couldn't. You see, and then Romans 6, 23 tells us, as we've said many times, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So going to heaven is believing what God said to believe. And God said that I love the world, and I gave my only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. So if you are convinced your good works are going to get you to heaven, you will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. But if you'll believe what God said to believe, because he loved you, and he died for you. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for your sins. And then in John chapter 19, verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." So you can't do anything out of the flesh whatsoever to merit eternal life, because Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for those 6 hours that he hung on that cross and said, "It's finished." He fulfilled every prophecy that was given about him, concerning him in the Old Testament. He fulfilled everything, including the payment that God required for your sins. So God wasn't willing you should perish. He's not willing anyone should perish. And he made restitution by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross and make that payment for you. And should you reject Christ, you would die and go to hell with your sins paid for, but you absolutely refuse to accept the payment That would be such a tragedy that God doesn't want you to do. And he said, I'm not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that repentance is a Greek word, metanoia, which means change your mind. Now, let's get on our subject here, because we're going to continue on Islam. And we're going to find out some more about that. We hear so much about it being projected, and Satan is doing this. It's a peaceful religion. It's just that there are some of these terrorists and so forth, and these radical groups that are the terrorists and really going against what their Bible, the Quran, simply teaches. Well, there couldn't be anything further from the truth, because their Quran and their so-called Bible that was put together by a man clear back in about 570 A.D. of that, by the name of Muhammad. And this man thought up all of this stuff, put it into these writings and so forth, and says that this he had a vision from Allah, you see. And it's just like many of these so-called religious leaders always are having visions from God. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know they had a vision from God, you see? And how do you know that God sent the angel Moroni unto Joseph Smith and with the golden plates and turned out to be the Book of Mormon, which contradicts the Bible? And I'm just going to say this because you're going to find out the Quran here. If we have time to get these over these several messages that we're going to give on the Quran, I may do a message on how this absolutely contradicts the Bible. But it does concerning Jesus Christ, but there's many other places that it quotes and absolutely just contradicts the Bible. But anyway, in Alma chapter 7, within the Book of Mormon, it tells us that Jesus Christ was born in Jerusalem. Well, the Bible says, and God says, he's born in Bethlehem. You see, all these false claims by these satanic teachers that claim to have visions, and how that God sends the angel Moroni, and he sends the angel Gabriel, and he sends these messengers from heaven, and gives these so-called self-made prophets all of these visions and so forth. This is nothing but satanic trash. That's all it is. Now, we're going to see this here, because Satan would have you to believe that the Muslim religion, Islamic, and the Quran, they would have you to believe that this is truly a word from God, who is called Allah, and so forth. But let's get a little bit here, and I'm going to give a little bit more in introduction information here, and then we'll continue on and get into some of the things here that the Quran says itself, all right? As we've said previously, the Quran is to the Muslims, it is the infallible Word of God, a transcript of a tablet preserved in heaven, they say, and revealed to the Prophet Muhammad and by the angel Gabriel. Except in the opening verses and some few passages in which the Prophet or the angel speaks, in the first person, the speaker throughout is Allah. Now, you see, Allah speaks in the first person plural, which often changes to the first person singular or the third person singular in the course of the same sentence. You talk about a fouled up, mixed up book that has been labeled as Arabic, the finest Arabic literature there is, which couldn't be anything further from the truth, you see. But anyway, Muhammad was born in Mecca about the year of 570, as we previously said. His mother was Amina'ah, and she died when he was still a child. He was brought up by his grandfather and then by his uncle. As a youth, he traveled with the trading vans and caravans from Mecca to Syria. And at the age of about 25, he married a woman. And anyway, she was the daughter of a woman by the name of Kawadadi, if I pronounced that right, which I doubt if I did, a rich widow 15 years to a senior. Meanwhile, he had acquired a reputation for honesty and wisdom, and he had come under the influence of Jewish and Christian teachings. Long before Muhammad's call, Arabian paganism was showing signs of decay. At the Kaaba, that is, the Meccans worshipped not only Allah, the supreme symmetric deity, God, I should say, but also a number of female deities whom they regarded as the daughters of Allah. Among these were Al-Lait, Al-Azay, and Manate, who represented the sun, Venus, and other deities too, other forms of nature. Impressed by Jewish and Christian monotheism, a number of theists and spiritual fundamentalists, known as Hanifs, had already rejected idolatry for an ascetic religion of their own. Mohammed appears to have been influenced by them, you see. It was his habit to recite and retire to a cave in the mountains in order to give himself up to solidarity, prayer, and meditation. According to the Muslims' tradition, one night in Ramadan, about the year 610, as he was asleep or in a trance, the angel Gabriel came to him and said, "Recite." And he replied, "Well, what shall I recite?" The order was repeated three times until the angel himself said, "Recite in the name of the Lord who created and created man from clots of blood. Recite. Your Allah is the most beautiful one, most bountiful one, who by the pen taught men what he did not know." When he awoke, these words, we're told, seemed to be inscribed upon his heart. Now, this is all through tradition that comes down, and this is what these people believe. Muhammad, who disclaimed power to perform miracles, firmly believed that he was the messenger of God sent to confirm the previous scriptures. In other words, God had revealed his will to the Jews and the Christians through chosen apostles, but they disobeyed God's commandments and divided themselves into sects. The Quran accuses the Jews of corrupting the scriptures and the Christians of worshiping Jesus as the Son of God. You see, they don't believe that he is the Son of God, although he had expressly commanded them to worship none but him, you see. Having thus gone astray, they must be brought back to the right path, to the true religion preached by Abraham. This was Islam, absolute submission or resignation to the will of God. Now, we find out, as we continue on a little bit here, the Quranic revelations followed each other at brief intervals and were at first committed to memory by professional remembrances. In other words, those, that had a photostatic mind or never forgot anything. But anyway, during Muhammad's lifetime, verses were written on palm leaves or written on stones and any material that came to hand. Their collection was completed during the Caliphate, or the Caliphate of Umar, the second Caliph. Now, when we say Caliph, we're referring to, and it means, a title for the religious or civil head of a Muslim state. And an authorized version was established during the Caliphate of Uthman. That was the name of his successor that reigned from 644 to 656. To this day, this version is regarded by believers as the authoritative word of God, or the authoritative word of Allah. But owing to the fact that the Kufic script, now when we say Kufic script, we mean the characters pertaining to the Arabic alphabet used in the writing of the original Quran. So, owing to the fact that the Kufic script in which the Quran was originally written contained no indication of vowels or diacritical points, variant readings are recognized by Muslims as of equal authority. Now, in several different Qurans I've looked at, and I have two, and some I've given away, but anyway, you will find various readings, but all have the same subject there, you see. So, anyway, if you would look up some of these in a Quran, it may read a little different from the Quran that I'm going to read from, all right? Now, concerning the one who did this translation on the one that I have, I would like to give a little information about this, if I may. In pertaining or preparing this translation, it has been my aim to present the modern reader with an intelligible version of the Quran in contemporary English, the translation first published in 1956, and it's been brought as close to the original as English grammar and idiom will allow. Now, you find out who this was. This was a man by the name of N.J. Daywood. He was born in Baghdad, and he came to England as an Iraq State Scholar in 1945. He graduated from London University, and in 1959, he founded the Arabic Advertising and Publishing Company in London, which is now one of the major producers of Arabic typesetting outside of the Middle East. So just wanted to give you a little bit of information concerning the man who translated this from the Arabic here into the English here. So he's quite qualified to do it, and they have made many, many translations since that time and so forth. Now, I want to attack the fact here of the false information that's being put out. And you hear this so much, and this is exactly what Muslims want you to believe, that they are a peaceful religion. And we have people that do not know and are uneducated in the Islam religion and yet come out and say things that are absolutely brainwashing to the American people, because you'll find that a paper will print them. And one of those papers is Time Magazine. Anything that's not true concerning religion, you'll find out, or I should say, instead of saying not true, that is true, but that anything that will defame the Bible or make a mockery out of the Bible or degrade the Bible, you can rest assured Time Magazine will hop on it right now. Now, let me give you an example, if I may. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just say this a little bit more as introduction here and bring you down to this. Until recent history, we find out that Islam has been a negative and a violent image in the West, and it has. However, today we live in an age of tolerance, when it is politically incorrect to criticize any religion with the sole exception of Christianity. Now, you can criticize Christianity, that's all right, but for heaven's sakes, don't say anything about any other religion, which is deemed to be the source of all the evils in the world. Now, I'm going to be politically incorrect, and I'm going to state the obvious. The hijackers who inflicted such horrible devastation and suffering in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pittsburgh on September the 11th, 2001, were not evangelical Christians or, for that matter, even fundamentalist Christians, nor were they Israelis. There were hundreds of religions in the world, yet almost two-thirds of all terrorism worldwide is carried out by the followers of one religion, and that religion is Islam. If you've watched TV and listened to the radio or read the print media in the weeks since the horrendous acts of terrorism in the United States, you've heard repeated over and over like a broken record such statements as this: the religion championed by terrorists who perpetrated these acts of terror are unrepresentative of the true spirit of Islam. How many times have you heard that? Even Prime Minister Tony Blair, we all know him, and I highly respect Mr. Blair for his part of backing up our war on terrorists and so forth, but he was very careful not to offend Muslim voters. And he said gingerly a few days after the September 11th terrorist attacks, and I'll quote, this is what Mr. Blair said, "Such acts of infamy and cruelty are wholly contrary to the Islamic faith. That is an absolute lie and brainwashing, and Satan loves for you as an American to hear that, because you will be tolerant then. You will not have the truth. And pretty soon you'll defend the terrorists thinking they've been falsely accused." And that's what's going on in America today. We find out that also, President George W. Bush has made numerous statements echoed by other government leaders on both sides of the Atlantic to the effect that we must distinguish between terrorism perpetuated by extremist Islamic groups and Islam itself, which is peaceful. Well, Mr. President, and I love you dearly, but you need to do your homework before you come out and try to influence America with that kind of a lie. And you lied to them, Mr. President. You surely did. You should have done your homework. In fact, you should have contacted some biblical scholars who have done research on this, before you ever came out to try to get us as Americans to believe what you're telling me to believe, because I don't believe you, Mr. President, because I know that what you're saying is not true, you see. And we find out also that Muslims have stated over the airwaves in no uncertain terms that Islam is a religion of peace, and they want you to believe that, which has been parroted by journalists, TV reporters, government officials, all of them alike. The word Islam itself means peace. So, the media goes and goes on and on, you see. Now, in the aftermath of the catastrophes in New York, Washington, and Pittsburgh, a lady by the name of Karen Armstrong, a former Catholic nun, converted to, and I quote, the truth found in all religions. Well, that tells me right there, you don't know what you're talking about, dear lady. But, of course, our dear old friends that want to brainwash you and get you on the side of the left to believe something not true about the Bible, printed in October the 1st, 2001, in the issue of Time magazine, and they quoted this woman who has no idea what she's talking about. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, and Islam is the world's fastest-growing religion. She is right there. If the evil carnage that we witnessed on September the 11th were typical of the faith and Islam truly inspired and justified such violence, its growth in the increasing presence of Muslims in both Europe and the United States would be terrifying. It would be a terrifying prospect. Fortunately, this is not the case. But I'm sorry, lady. I'm sorry, Karen, but I hate to refute you, but Mrs. Armstrong or Miss Armstrong, whoever you are, you don't know what you're talking about, because it is true. And it is terrifying that we see so many Muslims inflicting into America, taking up residence, building mosques. And when we find out what they believe in the Quran, you would be terrified, because the enemy of this religion, it sets on your doorstep, friend. And America has been brainwashed to not believe that they are what they are. Now, we come on down. She says, the very word Islam, which means surrender, which she is right, it means submission, is related to the Arabic Salem of peace. That's not true. In the Quran, the only possible war is one of self-defense. That's a lie out of hell, as you're going to see as you follow along here. Islam is not addicted to war, and jihad is not one of its pillars or essential practices. Islam did not impose itself by the sword. And I'm going to stop there because our time is slipping away. I think that's a good place to stop, and we're going to pick it up next week, and we're going to read you some things here from the Quran and show you that just like this lady, Karen Anderson, here. Is that her name? Let me look at it again here if I can here. It's not Karen Armstrong, not Karen Anderson. We have a friend by that name, wonderful Christian lady, and I'm sorry, it was Karen Armstrong. That Time magazine, and you can always count on Time magazine. It'll always print something about, we don't know for sure if Jesus really died or not, and you know, we don't know really if he was born on this day or so forth there. You'll always find something in Time magazine, a very leftist magazine that wants you to believe anything that can degrade or disgrade the Bible. Time will get it. And he grabbed a hold of this woman, whoever she is, but it ought to tell you something. When it starts out here, she was a former Catholic nun. She converted to the truth found in all religions. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's not the Bible, I don't know where this truth is found. Now, I've studied many, many religions and comparative religions and in depth in a lot of them, and I don't find truth in any of them. I find they contradict the Bible. So this woman evidently here, I wonder how much Time magazine paid her to put that article in. Maybe she did it for nothing. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. They sure got a hold of her, didn't they? They know how to get a hold of the ones that are going to degrade and put out a lie. And I wonder on what credibility, ma'am, you are an ex-nun. Evidently, you made a wrong decision then when you became a nun. You know, then you didn't have much sense there. So if you're a former Catholic nun and you converted to, then where was your thinking when you became a nun? Evidently, you were wrong. And then if you were wrong, you converted to something else, you're very much wrong again, lady. And then you're coming out, and you're supposed to be an authority here, as Time magazine would print your article and want you to tell us that the Islamic religion is a peaceful religion. So we're taking a mixed-up woman from beginning. She didn't know enough not to become a nun, so she became a nun. Then she found out she didn't want to be a nun, and that was wrong. So then she found truth in all religions. Bless her little heart. She is just about as fouled up, mixed up, and double-minded as any woman you'd want. But you can count on one thing. Good old Time magazine. Let's get what Karen Armstrong said, and we're going to print it, and there's going to be millions of dumb people out there that are going to believe this woman that she finally found the truth in all religions. I bet if you was to ask this lady, if you were to die, Mrs. Armstrong, let me ask you a question. If you were to die, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Well, there's one religion that says this and another religion that says that. Ma'am, you don't even have any idea what you believe. But good old Time magazine, hopped right on it, didn't they? They most assuredly did. Well, I see our time's gone. Enough of that. Next week, we're going to start in on what the Quran says. That'll be very interesting to you. And it makes this woman out, this Karen Armstrong, an absolute liar, as well as Time magazine, as well as all of these others. And I'm sorry to say, Mr. Bush, you also. And I'm sorry to say, Tony Blair, you also, even though I respect many things about you men, you need, before you start endorsing a religion and telling the American people and the European people and everybody else that this is a peaceful religion, you better do your homework before you brainwash Americans into accepting the enemy that seeks to destroy you and America and has a one thought in mind, that everybody in the world worships Allah, and if you don't, and they don't convert to Allah, then you got to kill them. You say, whoo, where'd that come from? We're going to show you next week where that come from. Right from the Quran, friend. That's where it came from. Well, I hope if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity is named after Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. He came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. And he offers to you absolutely freely that God loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. If you'll believe that and you'll trust Jesus Christ as the one who died to save you from hell, then he made you two promises. One, you'd never perish. And number two is, you will inherit everlasting life. Well, I see your time going. We want to thank you for taking time to write us, as we do every week, and also to visit our website, which is www.heritagebbc.com. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.